This is the national public broadcast of Imam W.P. Muhammad, American Society of Muslim Leaders.
So see, if you give somebody something, it's too far beyond reality, they will hear it and love you because you're their friend. And they know you're helping them to have a good life. So they don't even question what you're saying. When it's doubt, they're not conscious of any doubt. But the nature, deep in the core of their being, does not respond to falsehood, does not respond to untruth, does not respond to what is wrong, but only to what is right and true. So the nature in us kept us good. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was wise enough to know how to keep that nature in us awake or alive. He was a master psychologist. His teaching made him a master psychologist. He was able to tell us, and speak with fire and brimstone, speak with anger. And you could see the hate on his face when he was talking about the mistreatment of black by white people who were cruel and demonic devils. You could see the anger and hate in my father's face. And then you see him in another situation, and he's smiling with white folks. So that tells me and you that it wasn't for all white people. It was for the devil in the white people. And he would tell us, he said, now, he would preach a loudest sermon. And he would check the sermon. Check the object of the audience or the congregation. He'd say, now don't think you can kill the devil. Don't you try to take this into your hands. So you may be killing a Muslim. You heard him say that? Yes, you may be killing a Muslim. And leave it to our Savior. Our Savior will take care of it. That's what he would tell us. And he would say, respect everybody. And give your employer an honest day's work. He was checking us. He was using the teaching that had the power to make us very destructive. Very destructive. Violent warrior. But he was tempering it all the time. And obviously the power of God was on his side. Because who has the power to fire people up like that? And then let them go, and they go out so peacefully, to remain civilized and peaceful. That power was not the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's power. God was in that power. See, that's what we have to realize. God was in that power. Now, here's something else I want to bring to your attention at this point. I know you read the Bible. Most of you came from church, from Christianity, isn't it? Christian public. Our public out there is a Christian public. They're Muslim, yes, and Jews, and others. But the public, now it's more mixed than ever. But when we were coming up, back then, at the time I'm talking, it was mostly a Christian public. Very few of other religions. Now, if you are acquainted with the Bible and its story of nations or people, like the Jews or the Hebrews, who were mistreated by others and became the property and victims of others. You read about how they got into trouble. Evil rulers that didn't like them because they were different. You read about their story. You read about God not liking the treatment that they were getting. And how God, the Almighty Creator of the heavens and earth, took up the issue and took the side of the victim. And eventually brought help and salvation to the victim and punished the victimizer, those who were doing the evil. You read these stories? I repeat, I am no prophet, I'm no special man. If I'm special, it's because I've been a good student and I've tried to be a good follower. That's the only way that I'm special. But I say to you now, as I said to you when I was minister, Wallace Muhammad B. Muhammad, preaching at 5335 Greenwood, and preaching in Philadelphia and other places, in the honor of Elijah Muhammad, our Nation of Islam, I say to you as I said to you then, I know we are special, and I know what we have experienced as a people and what we will continue to experience as a people is no different from what other people that God came to and rescued experience. We are experiencing God in our life. We are experiencing God being in charge of our life. We are experiencing God making the way for our life. And we are experiencing it just as clearly and just as strong as any of the people of the prophets experienced it. It's not an individual in this time that is lifted up, visited by God, and lifted up and made the star in the heaven. It's a collective group. It's the whole people that have been selected by God. And He's lifting the whole people up as a sign of His great presence, that He is still God, the Almighty, and in charge of human affairs. That's a sign, brother. That's a sign. And I can quote you scripture to back up what I'm saying. I can quote Muhammad the Prophet to give support to what I'm saying. Prayers and peace be upon him. Don't think God will stop working in the life of human beings. Any good, sincere believer in God that has remained sincere over the years of their troubles, as the people say, trials and tribulations, you remain sincere to your God. You can't tell me, because I know God has made His presence known to you in your life. Now, if God will make His presence known to us individually, in our lives, we know He's present in our life. We know it happened because He wanted it to happen. And we suffer, and we still remain at peace inside. We suffer and we still remain pleasant in our heart, because we are so convinced that my God knows my suffering and He loves me. So I need to experience this and better is to come behind it. We have the strong faith that no matter how bad times get, your son holler at you and cuss you and spit in your face, and you trying to love him and save him from drugs or something, you bear it. You don't have a heart attack. You keep smiling. Maybe you sing a spiritual. Go away from him and go in the room and start knitting or something or arranging things. Stay in the spirit. So happy and the son just sitting there. And you know he's falling to death. Headed for death. That's God's presence in your life. If God will be present like that in the life of us individually, if a whole people is taken out of their original life or is separated from what God intended to be their life, their original life is what he wants for all of us to see. That means that original human innocence, that original beauty of the human being, that innocence, that love, that tenderness that you find in a new baby. Huh? If anybody, whole people taken from that, uprooted from their culture, and out of their human nature that God intended for them, but they still believe there's a God. And they believe there's a God of love and justice. Maybe the world has made them believe a white potato is God. And they see the white potato being cut, peeled, salt, being cut, peeled. And they see people eating, they'll eat the white potato too. They'll eat the white potato, still believe it's God. Now when they call on God, the white potato, do you think they'll get an answer or not? They will get an answer. Because they believe sincerely in their heart, white potatoes are God. And they don't know the right God. They don't know how to perceive God. They don't know how to define God. Or to have God in their mind, a vision. They don't know. All they know is that they were told white potatoes are God. So when they call on white potatoes, God is going to answer them. See, God is not small like we are. Somebody dying and crying and suffering and calling on you. You ain't called me. Joseph, Bill, help me, help me, Bill, help me, Bill. Oh, my name is Jack. God is not there. God knows who's calling, and God knows whether they're calling him or not. And I don't care, they can say Bill, Wrath, Mr. Farad, Elijah Muhammad, they can say Jesus Christ, they can say whatever they want to say. God knows who's calling and who they're calling upon. And God is not going to push you back because you are unaware, unknowing, or ignorant. God is going to answer you. That's the God that I love. That's the God that I've come to know. So here, whole people, enslaved. They don't know where they came from. Many of the children came from Islamic life, Muslim parents. Talking about the slaves. They were brought here from Africa. All they know is that the people that we're among now, they say God is Jesus Christ. They say, oh, Lord of Jesus, please help us. I read a story in a little book by a German type name. I believe it was a German. And the title of the book was The People Who Walked in Darkness Have Seen the Light. A great taken from Christianity, or from the church. And he records in this book that there was a slave back in slavery, the days of our enslavement. Her name Julia. And he said, this Julia said to her bosses, that she was obviously not pleased to go along with their bidding. And she said, you all look like God in the face, but act like the devil in your heart. Now, what was her reference for God? Her reference for God came from them. So that's why she said, you all look like God in the face. She had seen the pictures of Jesus Christ, white man, and looked just like them. So she was saying, you all look like God in the face, meaning you look like Jesus. The Jesus is the God. You look like him in the face, but you act like the devil's in your heart. If you can accept what I'm telling you now, you who go around with this big burden on your mind, you can be free from this time on. Why should you continue to torture yourself, trying to insist that some picture that you have in your mind is God, and having problems getting the good benefit from a man like me, because I don't approve of that picture you have in your mind of God? Why keep torturing yourself? God is bigger than pictures. God is not a picture. God is the reality behind all pictures. Originally, that's what the people were told of Scripture, of the book. And I read that book. Of God make no image, neither in the heavens or in the earth. That's what they were told. But you know they made image. This is sacred stuff. Praise be to Allah. Allah tells us, I won't complete this, but I'll stop. I see this really at occasion like testify. And you know, you can stop testifying anytime the Spirit says so. You don't have to finish it. You just stop on a high note and just conclude your testimony. Yes, God says to us, all you who believe. There's some of you who know Quranic, Arabic, you can recall this. You know this language. Qul, ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, qul anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. Oh, you who believe, save your own self and your family from the hellfire, or from the fires of sin. Now, everything, only those who trust me follow what I'm saying and accept it. Many of you don't. This, whatever you have in the Quran, it must have a reference in scriptures that came before. All you who believe, save yourselves. It didn't say call on a savior. And your family. Hellfire. Or from the fires of sin. In the Bible, it is said that Christ Jesus was responsible for someone being saved. But look what he said to that person. He said, go on, meaning you're free now. from your power. Faith has saved you. That's what he said. Your faith has saved you. He didn't say any great magic power from him, did it? The magic power was in their own soul. The magic power is the power of their soul to be innocent and to want to be right and to love God and love his help that was coming to them at that time from Jesus Christ. Peace be upon him. But he said, your faith has saved you. So if my faith saves me, then there's something in me that is the cause of me having salvation. No soul can have salvation until a change comes in the heart. When change comes in the heart, the right change, then you have salvation. In Islam, Allah says, God says to us, you will have no change for the better until you have a change in your own heart or in your own soul. That God will not change the state of a people until they change what is bothering their own hearts or souls. لَيُغَيْرُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا لَا يُغَيْرُ اللَّهُ مَا بِنَفْسٍ I can't recall it out. لَا يُغَيْرُ اللَّهُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ God will not change what is bothering your people. حَتَّى يُغَيْرُ مَا بِأَنْفُسِهِمْ Until they change what is bothering their own soul or your own conscience, but your deep conscience. This enthusiasm is a deep conscience. Mean that conscience that's deep in there. Not the shallow one. Not the one that's dealing with these matters all the time, these petty things. But it's the one that is deep. Like when something hits you real hard. You go deep. You feel it deep. You feel it in the depths. Well, we strip things out of our conscience that we don't want to deal with. But the soul records everything. You can't shut things out of the soul. You can shut it out up here, but it goes deep down in here. And it stays there. And the right thing happens, brings it up. Brings it up. Well, you know, when we're doing these things against our own good future, against our own good life, something down in here lets us know it's not right. It will make you uncomfortable at times. It will remind you it's not the way, it's not right what you're doing. And we'll shut the voice out and keep busy, stay busy, but every now and then, when you're not so busy, it'll make his presence known. Well, that's what God means. You have to have a change. You have to have a change of heart. A change of heart that comes from something deep in you. Your good, innocent nature that you want to shed out. And when you have a change like that, God comes into your life. That's the same as having an honest repentance. An honest repentance. Then God comes in. We as a people, we're not the same as we used to be. We used to have as our most important interest. And I mean the leaders kept us aware of this. Church leaders. All our leaders, they kept us aware of the most important interest. We used to have as our main interest the improvement of our race. The improvement of our race. Progress for the whole. Progress from the bad times and bad circumstances into better times and better circumstances so that we'll have a better life. That was the main interest in the hearts and minds of our people. But after the 60s, segregation gone, the laws killed, the disposition of governments changed, more power working on our side, we started to celebrate better times. And got so caught up in the celebration of better times. Partying, laughing, making money and spending money, shopping and having fun. Got caught up in that and forgot the main interest. Became very selfish, small-minded, and very selfish. So the great majority of us have taken ourselves out of the promised land, or off the road to the promised land. But there are a few faithful ones still in religion, still in Christianity, still in Islam. But just like the Christians lost the majority of their living ones, we have lost the majority of our living ones. We are now the walking dead. Yes, we only have a few. Just have a few. And you know yourself. We just have a few that have held on, still know that this that has happened to us to bring us down and then lift us up is God's doing. I remember seeing a picture when I was a boy. Later in my studies, I ran across the same picture as a man. It was a newspaper clipping. I saw the picture in a book later. And the picture is the picture of a slave on the slave ship. And he's sitting bound and chains about his head. Chains about his head. Now, why would chains be on the head of a slave? Why would such a captain be in a newspaper? A slave, a chain about his head. He can't run with his head. Chain's supposed to be about his feet. He runs with his feet. He can't hit anybody or work on opening the lock with his head, except his thinking. So the chain's on his hand, on his arm. He says that his hands are chained behind him, tied behind him. And his feet are shackled, his legs are shackled. But now they got chains about his head. What does that say? We're bringing him, and the chains that we really going to have on him are not going to be the chains on his physical body. It's going to be the chains on his mind.
For more on the ministry of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, call or write Ministry of W. Dean Muhammad, 1-708-798-6750. All right, Ministry of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For Muslim Jones, see local distributors. And thanks for listening.